In this schema, we are looking at the therapeutic targets of approved and investigational PH treatments that have been available to us for over a decade. What we're looking at here on top, the schematized endothelial cell layer, the smooth muscle cell layer, and then the various pathways. So on the left, we have the endothelin pathway. Endothelin is a 22-peptide molecule that is a potent vasoconstrictor, and it also promotes proliferation of smooth muscle cells. There are two different receptors, the A receptor, which is responsible for most of those effects, and the B receptor, which has both vasodilatory and vasoconstrictor effects and also helps clear endothelin from the circulation. There are three agents that have been available over the past number of years. The first one approved was bosentan around 2001, and then ambrisentan sometime later, 2007, 2008, and most recently, macitentan. Bosentan is a twice-a-day drug that has about a 10% chance of increasing liver function abnormalities and requires monthly checking of liver functions, whereas ambrisentan and macitentan are both once-a-day drugs and do not require testing of liver function. In the middle, we have the nitric oxide pathway, and L-arginine provides nitric oxide via the action of nitric oxide synthase, a very simple two-atom molecule that is a natural substance to promote endothelial and vascular health and is a vasodilator and anti-proliferative. It works by interacting with soluble guanylate cyclase to produce cyclic GMP, which is a vasodilator and anti-proliferative substance. And the drugs that are involved in this pathway include stimulators of soluble guanylate cyclase, such as riociguat, the only one that has been approved. So this increases the activity of the conversion into cyclic GMP. And then the PDE5 inhibitors inhibit PDE5, the phosphodiesterase 5, which metabolizes cyclic GMP. And you would think that putting those two together would give you more cyclic GMP and would be a good thing, but it's actually contraindicated to combine these two because of the effects on systemic blood pressure leading to hypertension. Lastly, we have the prostacyclin pathway. The first prostacyclin drug, epoprostenol, was approved back in 1995, so it's been on the market the longest, but it also remains arguably our most potent agent in treating pulmonary hypertension. It's given by intravenous route only, and it is a vasodilator and anti-proliferative agent. It acts via the prostacyclin receptor, and there are four drugs in the U.S. that work by this pathway. Biroprost is available in other parts of the world, but it's not approved in the U.S., but epoprostenol I mentioned. Iloprost was used as an inhaled agent in the U.S. It's still available as such, but requires very frequent administration. It's not used all that often, and then treprostinil, which is available intravenously, subcutaneously, orally, and by inhalation. And then the most recent addition to the group is the prostacyclin receptor agonist selexipag, which is another oral agent. You now have a foundational understanding of current treatment options and related therapeutic targets, and now you're ready to work on a case with Dr. Castellino.